Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we are all about cannabis. We're all about the weed, and all week long, we're talking to Walter Sullivan, who's my co-host. Welcome, Walter.
How you doing, Jeffrey?
Good, thank you. Walter, you know, what a better topic of entrepreneurship in Massachusetts today than marijuana, and I appreciate everything that you're doing. You are the expert, the guru, and our next guest is Nicole Snow of Compassion for Patients. Welcome, Nicole.
Oh, thank you for welcoming me. My organization is actually the Massachusetts Patient Advocacy Alliance. And
okay.
you can find us at compassionforpatients.org.
Oh, that's why I found it that way. So tell us about, I'm going to do it this way, of MPAA.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
The MPAA is the advocacy organization that came together in 2012 to pass the ballot initiative for medical marijuana here in the state. And since 2012, there's been a need to implement, and I was asked to take on a leadership role in 2014 to help organize patients and work towards implementing a sound medical marijuana program.
Nicole, you've really been the voice for patients throughout this whole process. We only have 17 dispensaries open now, but we wouldn't even have 17 if it wasn't for all the work you put into this, traveling across the state. You truly are a patient advocate. How would you look at this and explaining to people looking to get into the medical marijuana business, you know, and the concerns they should have and how they should look at the patients and helping them?
Well, I always think that when I meet an applicant, you know, what it is about them that drives them towards helping patients. And I tell them that what stands out whenever you're presenting a business plan or you're making a presentation to a city council, it's always the why. So you're having to have a very clear intention when you're coming to the medical side of cannabis, and intentionally being there to support the patient throughout your business plan is what really is exceptional about all of these medical marijuana businesses.
Yeah, I think that truly, you know, I've been to meetings with you at different council meetings and planning boards, and you do a great job standing up for patients. I also think that for applicants, they really need to explain why they're in this medical marijuana business versus recreational, whatever. And I think that's a good point you make. How do you see, yesterday the Cannabis Control Commission really brought up licensing, and they're going to really try to keep the licensing process going that is currently controlled by Department of Public Health. Why don't you explain the process as to when it's transferring over to the Cannabis Control Commission and how you see for an applicant looking to get into this business and how you see DPH transferring power over to the Cannabis Control Commission? That's a mouthful.
It is, and it's a lot of what is transpiring now, even though the Cannabis Control Commission will not take hold until 2018 of the medical marijuana program, and that program, you know, will not be transferred until that point. I think all of the stakeholders are really laying the groundwork now in preparation for that. Like, you know, you may have noticed that the Department of Public Health, you know, they're a little bit more organized as a group, and they have pretty much all of the folks that, you know, want to work on the medical marijuana program and develop it. And I've seen a steady growth pattern on their part. The program is, has a rising number of patients, about a couple thousand a month. And so, they're balancing a lot of different things. So when, we're finally able to transfer all of this great work from the agency over to the commission, I think we'll be ready and prepared. I think part of, getting started was developing recommendations for the regulations that will, govern the adult use program. But until then, until 2018, the Cannabis Control Commission is not going to be managing the medical marijuana program. So we're just kind of seeing everyone getting ready for that point. But it is, I think it's heartening to see that everybody's kind of focusing on that day when, the power will transfer. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm very optimistic. And the framework that they're developing at the commission, I think, will coincide beautifully with the already developed medical marijuana program.
Nicole, I think there are 38,000 registered patients now. One of the things I get when I'm traveling around with applicants to different states on different parts of the state relative to medical marijuana applicants is the myth or perception that people with medical marijuana cards are only doing it to get high. I'd like you to debunk that myth, if you can.
Oh, absolutely. We're actually climbing towards 42,000 patients. Like I said, the number just keeps growing exponentially, the patients that are registering for the program over time. And we're probably going to continue to see that number to, rise. The patients are applying for their registrations because they're patients and they need medical marijuana for a medical purpose. And when, when someone says or alludes to a patient getting a card for the purpose and no other purpose than having a consistent stream of marijuana, it really stigmatizes the patients that are applying to get their registration card because they truly need an alternative medicine. And there are a lot of people that are, in need of this registration card, whether it is for the ease and security of care. They know that they'll be able to access the dispensary, sure. But, we have to keep in mind that there are a lot of patients that need this card because they're seeking medical care at hospitals frequently, and that helps them in their day-to-day explain that this is a medical marijuana patient and they're seeking alternative treatment and that they are, in fact, registered with the state and to use this medicine. And that is, the security that the patients require and want. And if it is an adult user that may be exploiting the program and receiving a registration card in order to get a consistent stream of marijuana, there will be a method to do that once the adult use program is up and running. They are free to grow marijuana at their homes now. So the legalization of marijuana in the state has given adult users a pathway. So now we'll actually be able to distinguish whether or not someone is growing marijuana for smoking a joint on the weekend or, for procuring marijuana for different purposes, like for art or whatever, we can distinguish that this is a patient that is in fact registering because they have a medical need. And also, you know, we don't recommend anyone with any of these recommended conditions to use medical marijuana without a physician's supervision.
Is there a problem with getting the qualified physicians educated in this whole area as well? I would think that must be an issue also.
Yeah, well, the interest is definitely slowly on upswing as far as becoming a recommending physician. The physicians are also stigmatized when it comes to recommending medical marijuana. When they're part of a traditional healthcare system, you know, they may have, you know, institutional stigmatization of marijuana, which we're also kind of combating. But every now and then I hear from a patient who has a family doctor that took the course in order to become a recommending physician. So that is definitely, it's definitely lightening the load for the physicians, the specialists that are out there that are not traditional family doctors that practice in their cannabis as their specialty. And then we have the traditional family doctors that are becoming recommended physicians. So that stigma is slowly eroding. And I think that the supporting cannabis specialist physicians, like I like to call them, are doing a great job in breaking away a lot of that stigma. Because, you know, even though I think some folks like to think of it as a one-stop doc or whatever, but, you know, these cannabis specialist physicians are really providing a lot of information for the doctors that primarily practice in, you know, the conventional sense, and are allowing them to have the educational tools to help their patients, which is ultimately what we want to see. And I think it's great that we're starting to see that, but it's definitely, it could be a lot better. You know, I would love to see hundreds more physicians start becoming registered, but I think what we're going to see as the adult use program develops, that there will be a lot more education available about cannabis and, you know, its medical use and its adult use. So I'm really looking forward to the next year or so developing.
Nicole, if somebody wants to find you at MPAA, how would they do that?
You can visit our website at compassionforpatients.com, or you can email me if you're a patient out there that has a question. And I know that some questions get really hairy and you don't know who to ask. That's me. you can email me director@compassionforpatients.com, and, you know, I will definitely do my best to either answer your question myself or get you to someone that can help.
Well, if you don't have the answer, I'm sure Walter Sullivan does. That's why he's my co-host. But we're going to be calling you again, Nicole, and we look forward to your input as this industry continues to evolve. Thanks for being on the show today.
All right, no problem. Thank you guys for having me. Have a
great
good one.
Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.